آله وصحبه أجمعين. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهذا كتاب أنزلناه مبارك فاتبعوه واتقوه لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. This particular ayat was read in the last two odd rakats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ, and this is a kitab, meaning Quran, مُبَارَكٌ, very very blessed. وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَا, we revealed it, it is very very blessed. فَاتَّبِعُوا, therefore follow it. One more time, Allah is saying, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَا, and this is a kitab, we revealed it, we sent it down, it is very very blessed. فَاتَّبِعُوا, therefore follow it. Follow what? Every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah has listed, be the command in the form of a order obligation, or be the command in the form of prohibition, whatever it may be, Allah is ordering us that we should follow. When we go slightly back, we find an example of some of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ, tell the people, تَعَالَوْ, come, أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ, let me recite unto you what Allah, what your Rabb has made haram on you, prohibited. And what are those things? Among them is, Allah tushriku bihi shay'a, that you will not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important command of Allah throughout the Quran, repeatedly over and over again. And if you open history pages going right up to Adam alayhi salam, this command has been repeated. And just in passing, associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first appeared in this world before Nuh alayhi salatu was salam. Inshallah, when we get there, we may discuss some of that. But right now, my point is, every Nabi conveyed to his community, Allah orders, do not associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the eyes of Allah, this is the greatest criminal offense. Inshallah, when we get to para 22, I think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبَنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِيدُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Para 21. Allah is saying to us, and go to that time when Luqman was advising his son, يَا بُنَيَّ, O my son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, do not associate matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, to commit this act of partnership with Allah is the greatest act of oppression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, Allah cannot be oppressed. But in Islamic terminology, zulum has got a very special meaning. Very briefly, what it means, zulum. Zulum means to give someone something, to give somebody else something that does not belong to him. Tawheed belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You take tawheed and you share that with somebody else. So therefore Allah is saying, that is the greatest act of oppression. And in Quran, several places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so critical about this act. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, Allah will never pardon anyone that associates part with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just in passing quickly, I forgot to mention a very important point. See, what I will read now is these 3-4 ayats. Allah has listed here 10 orders, prohibitions, etc. These 10 are known in Islam as the 10 commandments. Every Nabi promoted these 10 points to his people. Every Nabi, these 10 commandments. Right? Hold on. Starting from Nuh alayhi salam. So this is the first one. Do not associate part with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wabil walidayni ahsana. Very, very important command. Be kind to your mother and father. We know the story. Okay. Third one. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ, and do not murder your children due to poverty. In the world out there, the so-called birth control, family planning, abortion clinics and what have you, goes on and on and on. What is the bottom line? What is the thing that promotes this kind of ideology? It is the fear of poverty. So Allah is saying, do not murder your children due to poverty. Why? نَحْنُ نَرَزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ We are the ones that provide for you and we are the ones that provide for them. Also details I won't go right now, inshallah, some other time. That's the third command. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشَةَ Ya Allah is saying, do not come near indecency. And one word for indecency is zina. Allah is saying, don't come near. What does that mean? Allah is not saying, don't commit. Don't go near, meaning stay far. Don't go towards any activity that will finally lead you towards zina. And inshallah, para 18, Allah tells us what? Ya Muhammad, tell the believers, lower your gaze. Tell the believing women, lower their gaze. Because it starts with this. When you find something attractive, there it starts. Right? And so on and so on. So Allah is saying, don't even go close to that. That's the fifth command. Then Allah goes on to say, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ And do not take the life of anybody whose life Allah made haram. Allah prohibits us to take anybody's life. Of course, Allah makes exception. There are three or four exceptions where it is justified to take the life of another. And that to not me and you, it is the government, the ruling party. Like if you go in the olden days, starting with Islam now, Allah's Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in the light of Quran, there are at least four occasions where you can take the life of another. All in the Quran and some in Hadith. The first one is, you take the life of a murderer, a life for a life. Somebody kills somebody, you bring him to court, you charge him, evidence is put forward, he's found guilty, then you slaughter him. Khalas, chapter closed. Who's the second one now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us that the one who engages in armed robbery, what we call that? Highway robber. India, they call him Daku Mangal Singh, right? And various names. Anybody who engages in armed robbery, once he's arrested, charged, found guilty, execution, khalas, true. Number three, Allah's Nabi Taurus sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also in the land of Quran, any man or woman, married person, currently married, was married before, maybe single, maybe divorced, maybe whatever the case, but had been married previously, and such a person is found guilty of the charge of committing adultery. After due process, this person is now stoned to death. So we got three. Number four, any person who is a Muslim, and due to some reason, whatever it may be, right, he turns apostate. That means he renegades against Allah and Rasul. How may that be so? That can happen now by him denying certain of Allah's attributes after accepting it. Look, we have been taught, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ And so on. We say we believe in that. Now somebody denies that. I'll give a typical example, another most simple one. All of us know, it was read last night, Allah declared the final ayat regarding the prohibition of alcohol and liquor. Clear cut, khalas, close. Right, there was a process Allah Ta'ala went through. But in last night's Quran recitation, Allah declared alcohol, liquor completely haram. Finish and clear, end of story. Now if any Muslim who may be an addict to this particular weakness, now what does he say? He says, okay, this thing is not haram, it is halal. I had this case about 3 weeks ago, Ahmad Bhai, where a woman phoned, she said, Moana Khan, I have a major problem, right? I married this man, okay, that means she's a second wife, and she's his second wife also, and so on. And after about 8 years of marriage, right, he's been drinking all the time, but now my problem is, when my child comes home from madrasa, he's telling my child, what the apa teaching you, that alcohol haram, is not true. It is perfectly halal. This is the statement this woman made. Okay? I say, if what you say is true, then your husband is now a murtad in terms of Allah's law. English, apostate. And if he's found guilty of the charge, death sentence. Do you understand me?
So these are four or five things that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares it is justified to take, like, otherwise you can't take. In para 5 Allah gave detail, also in para 2 Allah gave some detail what is the process, so we'll just keep that now. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ Allah is very particular about the wealth and the property of orphans. Orphans are generally exploited. It's an old history, even today same thing happens. Someone is made the executor of young children and now the temptation is there and he starts, right, defrauding and what have you. So Allah is saying, وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ Do not come near the property of yatim. If you do come near, then do so out of goodness, where you seek the child's welfare. Then you put your hand there, you may make good investment, etc., so that you increase the child's property and so on. No problem. Otherwise, don't touch. Last but not least, Allah is saying, and this is a very common problem, sad, in our community. And sad, you know, one thing sad is, there are certain commands where Allah Ta'ala issued the law of prohibition, and we find ourselves guilty generally. What is this? وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ Give full measure when you measure, and give full weight when you weigh. In my lighty days, I can't say now because now we don't go shopping. In the lighty days, when you'll go in Mummy now to certain Muslim, fabric shop, you see with your own eyes, believe you me, I've seen with my own eyes. The guy is measuring and he stretches the fabric. The guy is measuring elastic, is stretching. Inna lillahi. Comes to the scale, he's pulling a job. I'm asking you, how many cents extra is the man making? How many cents? Allah's Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed through the market one day and he saw some grain that was there displayed for sale. When he looked carefully, what does he see? All that grain was damp. And he reprimanded the seller straight away. What was the problem, he said, sir? Dampness in the grain gave it extra weight. So when you're going to sell, now you defy the public. So Allah is very particular. Do not give full measure when you measure, and give full weight when you weigh. Our problem is, we want to take more and give less. We are accountable, Allahu Akbar. Then Allah says, وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعَدِلُوا When you speak, speak with justice, even if it's in regard to your family. Our problem is what? You know our famous word out the statement, connection call. It's a serious thing, very serious thing. It happens. We become influenced by connection. So Allah is saying, when you speak, speak with justice. Take me as an example, come on. There are certain cases that come to Jamiat. Because there is some kind of a link between me and the person coming in there, I recluse myself. I said, "Bhai, sorry, I'm not taking your case. Bhai, Mulisa, you handle this." Because it must not happen that unconsciously you may be biased to either side to what you do. You stay out. That is the best thing to do. And tell the participant, "Listen, I'm not sitting here. Because there could be sometimes some slip of my part, right? I'm a human being, and then I don't want problems more." So Allah is saying, when you speak with justice. Even if it's your own connection. Then Allah Jalla Shanhu makes the final statement, وَبِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُ And when you give your word, what must you do? Fulfill it. Promise. And again, sad to say, our community is lacking in that regard. Those who are perhaps my age or slightly older will recall this. There was a time that we went through in this country. If a Musliman appeared in court to give evidence, he was not required to take the oath, because a Musliman's word was gospel, so to speak. You can have 10 witnesses against you, his word was gospel. Today, I don't want to go in history. It is very, very sad. Today, no longer is our word worth its weight in gold. Today, we'll be doubtful. And then, why must a person take qasam? Come on. Qasam is like chewing gum today. When a man takes qasam, then what it tells you? Okay, this man is never true to you, because a Musliman, believe you me, no need to take custom. Allah's Quran teaches you that you have to be honest and truthful. That is your quality. So now, when you take custom, when the issue is of vital importance, life and death, now you have to swear an oath. Don't have to. So when a person on trivial things make custom and custom, now say to you, doubt in your mind, what's this fellow's history? This is it. Okay? Then Allah says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي. This 10 point mentioned here, this is my path, the straight path. You follow this, then you're on the right track. فَاتَّبِعُوا, therefore follow this path, the 10 teachings. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ, do not follow any other path. That means if you digress from here, then you're going to go completely off. So going back in, Allah Ta'ala saying, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ, this is a kitab, أَنزَلْنَا, we sent it down, مُبَارَكٌ, it is very very blessed, فَاتَّبِعُوا, therefore follow it. This Taraweeh, it's sad, now we don't know Arabic. Generally Taraweeh was a revision, and is a revision for those who know the language and who are able to follow. It's a revision of Allah's laws all the time. No time again for details. Surah Fatiha is a revision of our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, you are the ula sharik. Allah, you are the one I'm supposed to worship. Allah, you are the one I'm supposed to ask for help. And my greatest need, ya Allah, is to be put on the straight path. There it is. It's a revision all the time. And now that I've asked Allah, now I must make an effort to go on the straight path. What is that straight path? Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, there's the straight path. The straight path of Hidayat is this one here. Come in the kitab. May Allah give you tawfiq. Allah give you tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.